Until now, we've been talking about Yitzchak Avinu and the story of Yitzchak. So this parak, as I mentioned before, this parak and the next parak is a whole tangent about Tchias HaMesim and different things that have to do with Tchias HaMesim and the historical examples of Tchias HaMesim and different stories and different ideas about Tchias HaMesim. But the first few lines of this parak starts off with something about Yitzchak Avinu, and then it segues into Tchias HaMesim. So we'll start off speaking about Yitzchak and then start speaking afterwards about Tchias HaMesim. Says the parak, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk in Parashas Toldos, Vayizra Yitzchak Bo'aretz Hahi, and Yitzchak planted in that land. Right? So we know that Yitzchak lived in Eretz Yisrael, and it says that, you know, there's the Pesukim talking right after Yaakov and Esav were born. It says that Yitzchak planted in that land. Well, let's say over the whole pasuk. Vayizra Yitzchak Bo'aretz Hahi, Yitzchak planted that land. Vayimtza Bashana Hahi Mea Sha'arim, and he fanned in that year 100 times. We'll see exactly what that means, 100 times. Vayivarcheu Hashem, and Hashem blessed Yitzchak. Fine. So what's happening over here? Rabbi Eliezer's question and the answer over here is very difficult to understand. What was Rabbi Eliezer bothered by, and how's he answering exactly his question? But first we'll read it, and then we'll try to understand it better. V'chi Yitzchak Zara Dagan Chas? Did Yitzchak plant grain? Chas v'shalom? What's the question? Did Yitzchak plant grain? What do you mean, did Yitzchak plant grain? What's the chas v'shalom? Like, as if he did plant grain, there's something wrong. Chas v'shalom, heaven forbid to say that Yitzchak did such a thing. What's bothering him over here? Rather, I found in a place, in a journal called Kovetz Talpia, in volume Dalid, page 392, it brings there Hashem somebody named Rabbi Shaya Epstein, maybe he's a cousin of yours. He says that it's a mistake over here in the Medrash. Instead of saying Chas V'Shalom, it's really supposed to say Rosh HaTevis, Ches Vav, and Ches Vav is supposed to stand for Chita V'Sa'ira. So he reads it as, V'chi Yitzchak Zara Daga and Chita V'Sa'ira, did Yitzchak plant grain, meaning wheat and barley? It still doesn't explain what the question is. Yeah, why not? That's what the pasuk says, right? Okay, so we have to explain what the question is. Answers the Medrash. I guess no. Elo lokach es kol meiser mamoinoi v'zorat soka lanim. No, rather what this pasuk means when it says that Yitzchak planted in that land means that he took a meiser of his money and gave it to the poor people, and he planted soka for the poor people. Kamada at Omar, like you think elsewhere in the pasuk in Hayesha, it says zero lochem litztaka. You should plant it for tztaka. So too, that's what Yitzchak was doing. He was planting tztaka. Okay, so the problem over here is like it's self apparent. Like, what was the Medrash bothered by? V'chi Yitzchak Zara Dagan Chas V'Shalom, and what's the answer? So the Radal says what I understand to be half of a mahalach to explain this. The Radal says like this. The Radal, from what I see, only explains the question and it doesn't explain what the answer is. But he says like this. This is the Avos in the time of the Avos. So Eretz Canaan did not yet belong to them, even though Hashem gave a promise to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that they're going to own Eretz Yisrael, but it didn't yet belong to them. So he says, while they lived in Eretz Yisrael, you know, even Yitzchak, who lived his entire life, he lived in Eretz Yisrael, but they were always going from place to place in Eretz Yisrael. Avram Avinu was, you know, in Beersheba, he was in Hebron, he was in different places. You know, Yaakov Avinu was in Shechem, Hebron, he went to Beersheba, Yaakovin was all over the place, right? So Yitzchak was also, he was all over the place. He lived in Hebron, he went to the Gror, right, which is also most like, Mestabach considered part of Eretz Yisrael, the Gaza area, right? So Yitzchak was also moving all over the place. He didn't stay in one place. And what?
Sorry, I just remember something about the previous question. Remember when we learned about Cain and Hevel, that Hevel was the highlight of them because of the burnt son.
Yeah.
Instead of being someone that, you know, is a Zoraya.
Yeah.
Instead of someone that, you know, take care of the fields, he's in a lower level of a Targa or whatever than someone that was who's a burnt son. The tzon itself
is moving.
Itself is in a higher level than the plant. Something like that. Remember that we learned that back then? Yeah. Maybe that's the Chassid Shalom here. You're telling us that Yitzchak, maybe that he was doing things because he, I don't know, is doing something they were supposed to, someone in a lower level was supposed to do?
I hear. The Radha's making a similar point. The Radha's point is more that because the Avas didn't yet own Eretz Yisrael, so he says that they were always moving around, and therefore that's why they were Rayat Sain. He says this. That's why they were Rayat Sain, so that they can move from place to place and not have a specific place that they could call themselves, because they didn't really own any part of Eretz Yisrael yet. And the Radha has in parentheses, says, we know that the 400 years of the exile of the Jews, right, started from when Yitzhak was born. So Yitzhak lived in Eretz Yisrael, so even though he lived in Eretz Yisrael, there was some element of exile to what Yitzhak was doing. So the Radha explains, the Medrash's question is like this. So would you say that Yitzhak, even though he was in the Golos in Eretz Yisrael, would you say that he was going against what Hashem wanted, and he would stay in one place and use and farm that land? Of course not. It makes more sense to say that Yitzhak was a shepherd as opposed to a farmer. So why would it say in the pasuk Vayizo Yitzhak ba'aretzahi? That's how the Radha explains the Medrash's question. Now, the Medrash's answer, he doesn't talk about, or at least I didn't see that he explains what the answer is. So there's something lacking. I think, what's the answer? That's one approach from the Radha. So I found another approach. I saw this in the Sefer Ter Shlema, in Bereshis, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Beis, Ois Nun Tes. The Ter Shlema says like this. He reads it a little bit differently. He adds in a word. He says like this. V'chi Yitzhak Zora Dagon Bilvad Chasashom. When Yitzhak planted the grains in his land, right? So he adds the word Bilvad, only. So the Medrash's question is, did Yitzhak only plant grains? Was he only doing it for the sake of planting grain so that he'll have what to eat for sustenance, whatever? Chas v'shalom, the Yitzhak had these motives that were let's say selfish motives, that he was doing it just so he'd be able to eat. Ella answers the Medrash, rather, really Yitzhak's main motive was he was planting grain so that he would have something to give to poor people, to give ma'aser from, and to give tzedakah to aniyim. That's what was Yitzhak's main motive. And that's how he explains the Shakla Vatari over here in the Medrash. Did Yitzhak do it just for selfish purposes? And the answer is no. He planted it so that he could give tzedakah. That was the question. That's the answer. That's the Teresh Lema's pshat. I saw it brought down b'shem the Lubavitch Rebbe in Likutei Sichus Krach Hei. That same pshat, but more or less that same pshat. Then I found another pshat in how to exactly understand what the Medrash is saying over here. That's in the Marzu, sort of says this pshat, but the sefer that I found says it a little bit better. But the Marzu says, first of all, he says the same thing. He says the words chas v'shalom in this context, he says tzarech iyun. Like, why does it say v'chi yitzak zara dogon chas v'shalom? So what if he was zara dogon? He planted grain. Why is it a chas v'shalom to say that he did such a thing? And then the Marzu says, the ulai, the reason is like this, because it says in the pasuk by Yizra Yitzchak, Yitzchak planted it. It's mashma that he himself planted it. But it says, as opposed to, let's say, when it's talking about the wells, there's a whole story with Yitzchak and Avimelech about the wells. So it says over there, Vayachpuru Avdei Yitzchak. The servants of Yitzchak dug the wells. Right? So it sounds like Yitzchak has so many servants, he had servants that were able to do things. So why did he himself have to plant the Dagon? He should have had his servants do it. What's the Shvach in him doing it himself? He should have had his servants do it. And he adds another nekuda that says, like, by Avram Avinu, it says the pasuk, Vayita Eshel Bever Sheva. Avram Avinu planted an Eshel in Ber Sheva. So you would ask, oh, what? Avram Avinu was a horticulturalist. He was going and planting things. That's what Avram Avinu was. So no, the Medrash says that Eshel is Achila Lina Shtia, that he made a free hostel that people could come and eat and drink or whatever. So that's what it means that Avram Avinu planted an Eshel. But Sam to say that Yitzhak planted Dagon, like Mechite, so that he himself would do such a thing. He should have his servants do it. That's where the Marzu explains the question. Doesn't necessarily explain the answer, but it could be what we're going to say is going to explain the answer even according to the Marzu.
It wasn't so far.
What?
It wasn't so far.
Yeah. So the answer is going to start like this. There's the famous Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Hamid base. famous, world famous Gemara. The Gemara says, "Lamehem beis in brachis tanu rabbanan." The rabbis taught. It says in the pasuk, "Ve'osavta deganechai." It's the pasuk by we say in Krishna that you shall gather your grain. Ma talmud lemer. Why does it say that you should gather your grain? What's the chiddush of the pasuk? Lefish and Emar, so the Gemara says, because it says in the pasuk elsewhere, lo yomosh sefer Torah zemi picha, that this sefer Torah should never be removed from your mouth. Yochal dvarim kichsavam. You would think that means literally that you should never stop learning and you should never engage in agriculture. Talmud loymer v'yosafta deganecha. So therefore, the Torah has to tell us v'yosafta deganecha. You should gather your grain. Haneg b'hen minet derech eretz. You should act. In the way of derech eretz, in the way of the land, that you know people are Isaac in farming, so you should also be Isaac in farming. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Rabbi Shimon bar ben Yochai Omer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says no. He argues. He says, "Efshar adam cheresh b'shas cherisha." Is it possible that a man is going to plow in the time of plowing? Zareah b'shas zareah, and plant in the time of planting. V'kurtz b'shas ktsira, and harvest in the time of harvesting. V'dash b'shas shah. And threshing in the time of Bishas Ruach, and winnow in the time of the wind. These are all different seasons of the year, right? So it takes up the whole year to make proper produce. If he's going to be busy doing that, Torah Matahelov, where's the Torah going to be upon him? Rather, says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Ela Bizman, Shisrael, Eisen, Tzayn, Shulmokoi, Malachta, Nasasali, Deichirim. When the Jews are doing the Ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, so then their work will be done by other people. Shinamat says in the Pasuk, V'im Dezorim, Uru'u, Tzaynichem. The foreign people are going to stand up and they're going to shepherd your flocks. Etc. When Jews aren't doing what Hashem wants, so then the opposite is going to occur, that they're going to the Jews are even going to be responsible for other people's work. Right? That's what the Gemara says over here. Brachos taflam and hemibes. I found a sefer called Oil Torah. It was printed in Krakow in the year Tav Resh Pei Tes. Where I wrote it down. Oil Torah in the Krakow Tav Resh Pei Tes, in Cheshvan of Tav Resh Pei Tes, on page 142, Kuf Mem Beis. It brings this pshat b'shem Rav Pinchas Hirschprong Zatzal. You ever heard of Rav Pinchas Hirschprong? He was the Rav of Montreal. He was a big Talmud Chacham before the war. He learned in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin Yichal by Meir Shapiro. And after Meir Shapiro was nifter, I believe in like 1933 or something, so he became the boichin of the yeshiva. It means that he was the examiner, like if you want to get accepted to the yeshiva, so he would give you the test. And you know, the test was that you had to know 200 blank Gemara by heart. That was the test to get into the yeshiva. To know 200 pages of 200 blot of Gemara. By heart. By heart, to get into the yeshiva. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, right, Kilo. Yeah, for sure. So Pinchas Hirschprong, if you want to, you can open the door if you want also. But Pinchas Hirschprong says, pshat based on this Gemara. It says that in this Gemara, we see that if you're doing Ritzayin Eshel Mokoyim, what? Oh, yeah, because of the light. If you're doing Ritzayin Eshel Mokoyim, so then your work is going to be done by other people. Yeah? So he says that was the shayla of the Medrash. If you're doing Ritzayin Eshel Mokoyim, your work is going to be done by other people, so why is the Pasuk saying that Vayir Zeh Yitzchak Paretzahi? Yitzchak was the one doing the planting. He's doing the chayr. Yitzchak has to show him to say that Yitzchak wasn't doing the tzaddish shalokim, and he himself would have to do the planting instead of other people doing it for him. So why is it said he did it? So answers the Medrash, beautiful answer. The Medrash answers that Yitzchak's ikar kavana was planting so that he'll have food and grain or whatever to give to poor people, to give ma'aser, to give tzedakah, etc. That was Yitzchak's ikar kavana. If his ikar kavana was for the mitzvah, so we have a rule, the Gemara in Kiddushin in the beginning of the second parak says, when it comes to a mitzvah boy yaseh mebishluchei. The mitzvah is more with you, with him, with the person himself, than with his agent. So even though you're right, bezman sheyisrael eitzim retzeinu shel mokoyim, someone else is going to take care of their work. But Yitzhak didn't look at planting the grain as work that someone else should do. He looked at it as, this is a way to do a mitzvah. So if it's a way to do a mitzvah, I want to do it myself, rather than to have someone else do it for me. And that's what the Medrash is answering.
Yeah, I could understand from that. Because if there were someone, it says that it didn't necessarily stay for a long in the same place.
Yeah.
Whatever Zriya was doing there, after he abandoned it, it will take time to, transform himself and a plan to be kosher. So the person will, maybe the Anim, the poor people, they will find it, they'll never know who planted it.
Yeah. Something like that.
You're saying he
was a shepherd, but he was planting things and then leaving the area so that people he could anonymously give tzedakah.
I don't know.
It could be. I don't think that's what the Medrash is saying over here, but I hear such an idea.
I don't think the Plishtim need people to give them tzedakah. It's like, the Shvat and Hebrews, if they need tzedakah, they just, okay, give me your money, your wife. That's Plishtim there. Shvat is over there. I don't think they need this tzedakah. They could just take their friend.
They
wouldn't have asked a white man to be here with it.
What was the result of this planting? And then it was, he got 100-fold.
We'll get to that in a minute. But
that seemed very relevant. Why it was he who planted it, not maybe his abadim.
His
schut caused there to be such growth.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Is he the kind of mitzvah to talk about? Is it the pollution?
You want to know, is there tzedakah by a guy?
There's
tzedakah by a guy. But first of all, we're talking about a time when there was no such thing as a Jew and a guy. Mm-hmm. So, this is totally if the others had a din ben noach or a din yisrael, that goes back into that. But
if there's a ben noach, there's no difference between a guy from Shem and a guy from Kom?
I don't know. Le mitzino. Yeah, that's his favorite topic, Shem and Chom Yafes. There's another Nakud over here. In the Chassam Sefer Maseches Sukkah, Daf Lamed Vav, he brings this Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whether a person should engage in agriculture or he should only devote himself to learning. And the Chassam Sefer says like this, he says that the Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is only in Eretz Yisrael. Because in Eretz Yisrael, it could be that the agriculture itself is a type of mitzvah, there's a tzad mitzvah to it. So there, Rabbi Yishmael would say that you should rather engage in agriculture at the proper time than to learn Torah. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai argues and says, no, you should always learn Torah, even in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chassam Sefer says. And then the Chassam Sefer says, and then Lamaisa, we passing like Rabbi Shmuel. That's what the Chassam Sefer says. Lamaisa, we passing like Rabbi Shmuel. So in Chutz Laaretz, you should only do learning, and in Eretz Yisrael, you should also do agriculture in the time of agriculture. That's what the Chassam Sefer says. The Kasha in the Chassam Sefer, I saw this Kasha in the Sefer Inayim LeMishpat from Rabbi Yitzchak Arieli. Rabbi Yitzchak Arieli was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivas Merkaz Arav. He was a big Talmud of Rav Kook. So the Inayim LeMishpat Brachas Taf Lamed Hamid Beis, he brings down the Chassam Sefer, but he asks on the Chassam Sefer, says, but he brings our Medrash. In our Medrash, and he's understanding it the same way that we're understanding it, sort of. And he's saying that in our Medrash, sounds like the question was, V'chi Yitzhak Zarat Togon Chas Hashem? The way he understands it is, was Yitzhak planting grain? No, Chas Hashem, of course he was learning. How could you say he was planting grain? Right? And then the answer is, okay, he was doing a different mitzvah also of tzedakah or whatever. But you see from our Medrash that even in Eretz Yisrael, because we know Yitzhak lived in Eretz Yisrael, still you should be learning rather than engaging in agriculture. So you see that the agriculture itself is not a mitzvah. So you see from this Medrash that we pass in the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and you should always be learning and not being engaging in agriculture. That's the Einayim LeMishpat's Kasha on the Chassam Sefer. Unless at the end of the day, the final psak Gemara says over there, and the way that most people understand it is like this. The Gemara says Omar Abaye Harbe also could be Shmuel but also be other could be Shimon by Nechai but also be other. Abaye says that many people did like Rabbi Shmuel and it worked out. They engaged in agriculture when it was needed or whatever, and a lot of people did like Rabbi Shimon by Nechai and it didn't work out. So some people bring right from that line in the Gemara that it means we pass in like Rabbi Shmuel. But the mahalach, the popular mahalach is that what the Gemara means to say is that for the masses, harbe also kirbi shmal, but also b'yadam. When a lot of people, when the masses are doing like kirbi shmal, then it's going to work out. And then you'll have yechidim that can do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But if the masses do like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, then it's not going to work out. That's more or less the mainstream mahalach. So if you learn that, let's say you go like that psak, so then what's the manish over here talking about? Yitzchak was a yachid. So you would have to say that Yitzchak, we understood that Yitzchak was like, if anyone is going to be the one to dedicate his life to learning instead of engaging in agriculture, we would say that it would be Yitzchak. And on that you could say, chas v'shalom, to say that Yitzchak was Zara Dagon even at the time of Dagon. Even though we pass in like Rabbi Shmuel. That's the point. So the mentor says, "V'chol davar she'iser." I'm going right there. "V'chol davar she'iser." From everything that Yitzchak Avinu took, ma'iser hevilei Hakadosh Baruch Hu mea she'arim shel mamayim uverchay. Everything from every type of species that Yitzchak took, ma'iser. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him 100 times that amount for his money, and Hashem gave him a bracha. The kach nemar v'yivarchei Hashem. That's why it says in the pasuk, Hashem gave him a bracha. So Rabbi Pomerantz, just to repeat what you said a few minutes ago, said an interesting idea. He said that it could be that the reason why Yitzhak himself was the one who planted it is so that he'll get this special bracha of getting 100 times what's coming to him. It could be true, but if Hashem is giving a bracha to Yitzhak in Yitzhak's estate, I don't know why it would dafka be that Yitzhak would have to be the one that planted it.
His chus,
but I'm saying if he owns it, it's also his chus, no? I'm not sure. But there's other midrashim that say that what does it mean? Vayimsa bashana hahimi asham. He found 100 times. 100 times what? So 100 times worth of what? So the manager says that in the beginning of the year, Yitzhak made an estimate, or he made some sort of evaluation and tried to figure out exactly how much money is he going to make this year, so that he'll know what to give to the poor people already at the beginning of the year before he even made the money. And then it came out that Hashem gave him a bracha and he got 100 times more than he expected to get. So he got to give more ma'aser. But the manager is saying, like, it's a shvach of Yitzchak that he tried to figure out how much to give before he even had the money to give. But, so that's the idea of the story of Yitzchak. Now, as I said in the beginning, we're going to segue now towards the sugya of Tchias HaMeisim, and then we're going to be talking about Tchias HaMeisim for the next few weeks. Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Oh, Agav, I forgot to mention that we said that the words Chas V'Shalom over here is shtickle problematic. So I wrote down over here that the Radal in the Radal's print of Pirkei Devilezer, it doesn't have the words Chas V'Shalom. But then I wrote that in the Kafter of Aferach, who's one of the Rishonim, in Perek Aleph, Kafter of Aferach, he brings down this Medrash and he has the word Chas V'Shalom. So according to the word Chas V'Shalom is supposed to be there. Fine. So let's go right there. Rabbi Shimon Oimer. Rabbi Shimon says, Mikoyach tztoko hameisim asidin lichyos. Rabbi Shimon says that through the power of tztoko, the dead are destined to live. Meaning the idea of tchias hameisim, that people who are dead are going to come back to life, the resurrection of the dead, is going to come about through the power of tztoko. And we find that the idea, the power of tztoko, is that it can bring a dead person back to life. And we're going to bring a few proofs to this from different stories in Tanakh. That the zchus, the koyach of tzedaka, has the ability to take a person who's dead and bring him back to life. And the Radal points out that it's very appropriate that the bracha of tchias hameisim is the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, because we said before that the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei has to do with Yitzchak, and Yitzchak died and come back to life, and the second bracha is the idea of Yitzchak gvuras at the gibor la'olam Hashem. Right? And Yitzchak is the Indian of Gvura as opposed to Chesed of Ram Avinu is the first bracha, Zeicher Chesed Avos, that's of Ram Avinu. The first bracha is of Ram, the second bracha is Yitzchak, which is Gvura, and in that bracha it talks about Tchias HaMeisim, and more so, we just finished saying that Yitzchak was not for his tzedaka. We just spoke about that right now. And in fact, earlier in Perek Chav Zayin, at the end of the Perek, we discussed if Yitzchak was the person who invented the idea of Meiser. Could be Avraham Avinu invented the idea of Meiser. Could be Yitzchak, Machlikas, Rambam, and Ravid, and Hilchas Melachim, Perek Tes. We spoke about that in the end of Perek Chof Zayin. before we get on to the Medrash's first proof, I'll just say over an idea from the Mabit. The Mabit in his Sefer Beis Elikim in the Shari Yisoides, I forgot which parak it is, like parak, from parak like Nun Gimel to parak Samach, I think it was. The Mabit has a whole Arichus. The other Sefer called Beis Elikim in Shari Yisoides, he talks about the 13 Ikrim of the Rambam, the 13 articles, principles of faith of the Rambam, and he talks about them in depth, with an in-depth analysis. He brings proofs and questions and explains it, etc. So the Mabit, when he's talking about Tchias Meisim, has like many, many prakam about Tchias Meisim. I think it's from like Nun Gimel to the Perek Samach. And he has a whole Arichas about it. I didn't finish going through it yet, but I'm still working on it. Al-Kaponim, the Mabit says that what's the Indian of Atah Gibor La'olam Hashem? What does that have to do with Mechaya Meisim? Why is Hashem called a Gibor having to do with Tchias Meisim? So the idea is, the Lashon is Atah Gibor La'olam Hashem. You, Hashem, are a Gibor L'Olam. You are always a Gibor. It says that normally you have a Gibor. What's a Gibor? A Gibor is a strong man. He's a weightlifter. He's a wrestler. I don't know. He's a strong person. Yeah, he's strong. Gibor. He has kayach, right? So normally, when you talk about humans, so a person, when he's younger, let's say, he's a five-year-old, so you're not going to say this five-year-old is mamish a Gibor. Right, because he's not lifting weights and he's not a strong person, whatever, right? As he gets up to a certain age, so then he gets to a stage in life where now you can say, oh, this guy is a Gibor, he's a strong man, whatever, right? And then, after he passes that, so then now he's no longer a Gibor. He's an 80-year-old man, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, when he's an 80-year-old man, you're not going to say, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a Gibor. No, he's a wimpy old man that he doesn't have any kaychas anymore. Right?
Old geezer.
An old geezer, they say. Right? So when we talk about a person being a Gibor, it's limited. A person's never going to be a Gibor his whole life. He's a Gibor for, let's say, from when he's 20 to like when he's 35. That's when he's a Gibor. Earlier than that, he's too weak. Later than that, he's also too weak. A person's Giborness is limited. But when we talk about Hashem, what's the... What?
Just missed it.
You just missed it. I don't know, I'm just 35. It was arbitrary. 36, okay?
I'm almost 38.
What?
35.
Okay, from 25 to 45, there you go. When we talk about Hashem being a Gibor, it's not Hashem Stam being a Gibor, like in the way that a person is a Gibor. Hashem is a Gibor La'olam. Hashem is always a Gibor. Hashem, the Gvura of Hashem was that ability to create something out of nothing, to make man and like give him life, right? All of that, Hashem has that all the way in the beginning of creation, before the world was even created. Hashem had that ability to do it, and He did it. And then all the way at the end of creation, right? After Yemais Mashiach, by Olam Haba, when there's going to be Tchias Meisim, Be'ezus Hashem. So we're going to see again, Hashem still has that koyach that He had all the way in the beginning, because He had that koyach the entire time. As opposed to a human Gibor, which only is, his Gvura is limited, Hashem's Gvura is La'olam Hashem. It's a Gibor La'olam Hashem. Kama Hashem. Yeah. Right, so that, the Medrash is going to bring its first proof to the idea that Staka brings Tchias Meisim. We're only going to get through the first proof this week. Where do we learn this out from, that the Schus of Tztaka brings the Tchias Meisim? Me'eliyahu HaTishbi. From the story of Eliyahu, Elijah the Tishbite. Meaning, we're gonna see a story that there was a woman, a widow who helped sustain Eliyahu Navi, and her son's gonna die, and Eliyahu Navi is gonna bring the kid back to life. There, I ruined the ending for you. Right? Eliyahu Navi will bring the kid back to life. So why did he bring the kid back to life? Because she had a schus of tzedakah that she helped him finance Eliyahu Navi, so therefore she's gonna be zeicha that her kid is gonna be brought back to life even though he died. That's more or less the story. Because it sounds like, where do we learn it from? From Eliyahu Navi. That's not really true. We don't learn it from Eliyahu Navi himself. We learn it from the story of Eliyahu Navi. That's what I'm trying to explain. We learn it from Eliyahu Tishbi. That he would go from mountain to mountain and from cave to cave, and he was wandering Jew. He went to a place called Tzarfas, which is not in France, it's in Lebanon, Pashtos. And a woman who was who was a widow, received him with great honor. She took him into his house and she fed him. The Radal brings, when we say that when she would have a meal in her house, so first she would feed Eliyahu HaNavi, then she would feed herself, and then she would feed her son. Right? He was mamish a part of their household. And the Radal says that this is mamish Masir Stefesh because it's Mavur in the Pesukim that she was very poor. She didn't have so much money, she didn't have so much resources. And even though we say Chayach al Kaidman, if you're walking in the desert with your friend and you have a bottle of water and your friend doesn't have a bottle of water and you're both about to die, what do? You drink your own water, you don't give it to him. Right? Still, she gave food to him first, and then to herself and her child, even though the food was scarce. You see that she's moist and nefesh. That's what it means, the covered gala. It was a cover that she would give to him first. And she was Ima Yishal Yoina. She was the mommy, she was the mother of the Navi Yoina. Yoina ben Amitai, from the Sefer Yoina. You know the Sefer Yoina, who was the Talmud of Elisha, who was the Talmud of Eliyahu. He was the one who, whatever, he anointed Yehu as the king, etc. Yonah ben Amittai was no small stuff. He was big stuff. He was sent to Asher. He was sent to Nineveh to give Asher some Musar. So this woman who took in Eliyahu into her house, and she was the mother of Yonah HaNavi. Umipita umishamna hayu oichlim v'shoisim hu v'hi uvena. And from her bread and from her oil, they would eat and they would drink. In this order, he and her son. Shinamar, it says in the pasuk, "Vatechel hu v'hi." It says in the pasuk, he and she would eat. So it sounds like he was the ikar. He ate first, and then she would give him the food first, and then he would eat after. She would eat afterwards, and her son would eat afterwards. That's why she was giving, being mechabed him. Interestingly, it says over here that it says from their bread and their oil, from her bread and from her oil, they would eat and drink. So what's the drink? They would drink what? What's the from her bread and her oil they would eat and drink. What? Okay, eat. I understand. You eat bread and oil. What do you do with oil? You eat oil, or oil is part of the food. What do you mean you drink? So the Radal takes out the word oil. The word drink. Sorry, the Radal takes out the word drink because you don't drink oil. He brings the Gemara in Maseches Brachos on the same page that we just mentioned before. Lamed Hei Beis. The Gemara says. If you drink olive oil, you make a bari priyais. And the Gemara says, "Whoa, hey Chidomi, how is it possible to do such a thing? If you're telling me you just drink straight up olive oil, azuki mazikle, it's going to damage you. It's not healthy. It's not healthful. You can't just drink straight up olive oil. Elamai, the Gemara brings the teres and says that you drink it with beet juice. Actually, it's not really beet juice. It's like water that you cooked beets in, so if you drink that with olive oil, so then it's like very healthy if you're sick or something. That's what the Gemara says. But you don't stop and drink olive oil. So why is the Medrash over here saying that, oh, he would eat the bread and drink the olive oil? You don't drink olive oil. So he takes out the word drink. He said, like, I guess it means that you ate the bread with the olive oil or something like that. But Omar Belevi. So the pasuk says, "Vatechel hu v'hi," and he and she would eat. Omer Rabbi Levi says like this: "Hu v'hi k'siv." It says in the pasuk, "Hu v'hi," he and she would eat. V'hi v'hu karinan, but there's a k'siv kriya in that pasuk, and even though the k'siv is, it says he and she, but the kri is she and he. So the way the Marzu explains it is like this: like it sounds like there's a shtickle steer over here. There's a contradiction. Which one is the ikar? Was he the main person because he's Eliyahu HaNavi, or was she the main person because she was the balabasta? She was the hostess, so she's the main one supplying the food. So rather, says the Medrash, bischus Eliyahu achlu. Really, both are the ikar, but in the merit of Eliyahu, they merited to eat food. Meaning that they both played a primary role in the food over here. Meaning Eliyahu HaNavi played a primary role because he was Eliyahu HaNavi, and it was in his chus that even though she was poor, Hashem gave them a special bracha that they were able to have what to eat. So it was in his chus. And then she played a primary role that, you know, she was the hostess, and she was the one taking the achrayas and bringing the food and making everything. So it was also in her chus. So that's why in the Ksiv it says him first, and in the Kri it says her first. Fine. La'achar yomim, after days, and at some point, meaning chala ben ha'isha v'meis, the son of that woman became sick and he died. Shinemar, it says in the pasuk, vayhi achar hadvrim ho'ela chala ben ha'isha. It was after those matters that happened, chala ben ha'isha, the son of the woman got sick. Now the medrash over here is saying a slight chiddush that he died. We're going to see later on that some of Farshim understood that the kid didn't really die. The pasuk doesn't say explicitly that the kid died. Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to see later in the parak when we talk about Elisha with the kid of the Ben Ashunamis. So over there, the pasuk says explicitly that the kid died. Over here, the pasuk doesn't say explicitly that the kid died. But the Medrash is saying that the kid died. Fine. We'll get back to that point in a few minutes. So her kid died. Amr Allah Ha'isha. The woman said to Eliyahu Navi, Yaimru, and this is an interesting thing that she said to him, and we have to exactly understand what she means. Yaimru, they're gonna say, Kivasa Eli Petashmi Shemita. They're gonna say that you came upon me in relations, that you had relations with me. Viskarta Avini Alai, and Hashem, or you caused my sin to be remembered upon me, Umeith Bini. And because of that, my son died. Ella, toil masha hevesa elai v'sein li esbini. Rather, take away what you gave to me. I don't care about your bracha. I don't want your brachas anymore. And just give me back my son. That's what she says to him. She said, they're gonna say that you had relations with me, and that's why my son died. And so, therefore, I don't want your brachas. Just give me back my son. So what's she saying over here? What's happening? What are they gonna say? There's a few explanations over here in the Mefarshim. The Marzu explains that what she was saying. First of all, it's obvious from the Hemshech, we didn't see yet, but we're gonna see in the Hemshech that she didn't literally mean what she's saying. Rather, what she was trying to say was she was trying to say something provocative in order to get Eliyahu to really pray really hard so that the kid will come back to life. Because she knew, we're assuming the kid is dead, and if you want the kid to come back to life, you have to daven. But you have to daven really, really hard. So how am I going to get you to daven really, really hard? I'm going to say something that's going to affect you and want you to really, really make this happen. So she's saying that if you don't get my kid back to life, so people are going to make rumors about you and me that we're having some sort of relationship over here. And you don't want that to happen. So you better pray really well that this kid comes back to life. That's more or less what she was saying. Now, exactly what was her taina? So the Mefarshim say it in a few different ways. The Marzu says that the rumor she was trying to tell him was that people are going to say that you wanted to have relations with me, and therefore what you did was you davened to Hashem and you reminded Hashem about some sort of aver that I must have done in order so that Hashem will cause my son to die, and then when my son is dead, then you'll be able to be alone with me, and then then you could do whatever you want. That would be the rumor. So rather, what you have to do is daven really hard so that the son will come back to life, so people won't say this rumor about you. That's what the Marzu said. Now, the shaila is one of the guys who listens to this shir in America over the internet. His name is Tzvi Unger. He's a friend of mine from America. So he sent me. He knew we were about to do Perek Lamed Gimel. So he sent me a shtickel Torah from some sefer called Dvar Halacha. I think it was called, where he talks about, is there a problem of Yichud over here with Eliyahu and Navi and this lady? Because she's an unmarried lady. You have Eliyahu and Navi living, being secluded sometimes together. Even though she had a kid, but the kid doesn't work at night. All the different issues from a halachic perspective of Hilchas Yichud. He sent me a whole shtickel Torah about this. I don't want to really get into that. But Ma'at Hashem, when I send out the email about the shir, I guess I'll send that as an attachment if you want to look at that shtickel Torah. That's the Marzu's Mahalach. The Radal says it a little bit differently. The Radal says that she's alluding to a different thing. That there's a, not that sound, that you try to kill the kid in order that you'll be secluded with me and you can do what you want. Rather, he's alluding to a Gemara that says that it's a Gemara in Bava Metzia, Ayin Aleph and Aleph. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham should not live in the same courtyard as a widow because of Mishum Chashada, because of suspicion. People are going to say rumors that maybe there's something hanky panky going on between the two or something. Right? So the Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is not supposed to live in the same courtyard as an Almana. So she's telling him that, you know, now that my son died, so, you know, people are going to start being chesh at us. Maybe there's something going on in between us or something like that. And actually, in fact,
why would be the rumors only come after the kid died, not before? Because the Easter is going on all the time. He's in fact, because of the difference that the kid was never now. Maybe this is the same making that people will make such a cheshbon that the kid died because of an aver.
The Radal and Rabbi Liomi Izmir more or less they say that because you're not supposed to do this, and it's a problem of chashad that people are going to think you're doing something wrong, whatever. So it itself becomes an avera, and then they're going to think that the kid died because they were over this avera. You know, they were over an avera. So what's the avera? Like, if Hashem killed the kid because they did something wrong, that sort of like makes it like there must be something really wrong, because like look, Hashem even like gave them a einish for it, right? Like something like that. Like that makes it look even worse. That's
a very difficult question to
say. Yeah. This is what she was.
What about cause and effect? There must be like other authority.
I mean, well, first of all, they lived in the time of the basement, in the time that Beis Hamikdash stood, people were so connected to Ruchnius that people were able to see things in a different way than we see things nowadays. Like, they were able to see things in a way that if something happened, It must be that there was something, like if something bad happened to somebody, you could like almost see it, that there was something that guy did wrong. Even if you don't know necessarily exactly what he did wrong, but you could like almost see that like this guy did something wrong and that's why it came to him. They're much more in touch with these, with the spiritual things that were going on. Well, nowadays, like it's like very hard for us to even like think about like that something bad happened because he deserved it. It's like, it's a foreign concept almost. But I think back then they were much more connected to these things. So she was telling him that you know, you better daven for him to come back to life, because otherwise it's going to look really bad for you. We'll go weiter in a moment, but just one nikud over here. Okay, we'll finish off this. We'll go weiter in the story. Right. So what happens? Amar Elio got up and he prayed in front of Hashem. Amar, and he said, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the Universe, is it not enough for you all these bad things that happened upon me and upon my head? You know, Elio Novi is running away from the government and there's a bounty and they're trying to kill him or whatever. But also this woman, that I know about her, that she's only speaking about this because of the pain that she has over her son. And that's why she said something like this to Laakshani, to do something wrong to me. She only wronged me because she's in so much pain, but it's not really true. There really isn't a chashad, right? And Hashem, you're going to cause this sorrow also to happen? You know, the way the Radha has a slightly different gear, so it says, Ela afa isha hazais sha'ato yedeya, that you know, not that. The way I understood it was that Eliyahu Novi was saying that, like, this woman that she said this, like, horrible, like, chashad about us or whatever, I know that she was only saying it because she's in a bad circumstances and she's, like, just trying to get me to daven really hard, and mitzad me, I'm moichel her. The way the Radha has the gears is that, like, stop, Hashem, you know that what she's saying is not true. But stop, just to be in this situation, this unpleasant situation, it's not a good situation for us to be in. So rather, Eliyahu Novi says to Hashem, you know, I'm asking you, Hashem, that you should, you know, daven, I'm davening for her, that you should revive her son, bring him back to life. Right, and the Radal adds that Bistama, he said also in the schus of the tzedakah that she gave for him, Meaning, Eliyahu is telling Hashem, like, I have nothing against her, even though she said this like nasty thing against me. But I know she was only doing it because she's out of distress. But really, she's a big boss tztaka, and he's trying to be ma'ur her zchus of tztaka, right? Achshav yilnu adareth sheis chias amesim, and if you revive the kid, so all the subsequent generations are going to learn from this that there is a concept of tchias amesim. So Hashem es nefesh hayalid, please Hashem return the soul of the kid and allow him to come back to life. Says the Medrash, b'nat arloi, and Hashem listened to him and the kid came back to life. Shinamar v'ishma Hashem b'kol Eliyahu v'goyim. Hashem listened to the voice of Eliyahu, etc., and the kid came back to life. And as the Radal points out, and l'chora, this is the hemshech of the Medrash, the reason why the kid came back to life is because this woman was such a big balas tztaka. So we said before that the koyach of tztaka is that it could bring back dead people to life. So that's why the kid came back to life. Right? That's I'm kind of the story over here. The kid came back to life because she was a big balas tztaka. But so there's a few issues. We're not going to go to the next story tonight, but there's a few issues over here that have to be discussed. The first one is the Radal himself. The Radal himself said that what she was saying to him was that if you don't bring the kid back to life, so people are going to say that you are over this Gemara that says that a Talmid Chacham is not allowed to live in the same courtyard as an Almana, and therefore that's why the kid died. So therefore you should bring the kid back to life. That's what the Radal said, right? So the question is, how was Eliyahu Novi allowed to do it? Fine, you're telling me that let's say that's not really why the kid died, and people aren't really going to say it or whatever. She was just doing it to get him to daven harder. But what was the heter? And in fact, this halacha that a person is not allowed to, Talmid Chacham is not allowed to live in the same courtyard as a almana is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, Evan HaEzer, Simen Chof Beis, Siv Yud Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch brings down this halacha, it's a Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch brings down halacha. And on the Shulchan Aruch is a sefer called Shaila Meira. On Evan Ezer, it's from written by the author of the Shuvah Shalom Eshiv, and he brings down our Medrash over here, and he asks, "How is Eliyahu Novi allowed to do it?" The Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's also a Talmid Chacham to live in the same courtyard as an almana. How can you do it?
I don't understand the question. He wasn't living there; he was a guest.
No, but he was. It sounded like he was living there.
Yeah.
He was living there on some sort of temporary basis or even permanent, semi-permanent basis. If you look at the stories. If you look at the stories in towards the end of Malachim Aleph, you'll see that it sounds like he was mamish living there. Because they talk about like he had his own room, etc. Also, the Gemara in the beginning of Brachos talks about it. Where is it in Brachos?
Maybe living in just means to spend the night, and he spent the night there.
Where is it in Brachos? One second.
Meaning the question of living.
You remember where it is in Brachos?
What?
Where it talks about Eliyahu and Navi living by this lady? It said that
she put him in the attic. She put him in the aliyah.
Yeah, and the Gemara says that she saw that he was kaddish because he didn't have any zera on the bedding and different things like that.
Okay, say it.
I don't remember the Gemara. It's in Brachos.
Go ahead.
It's Chazar Brachos. Al Kaparim, so the Shalom Meshav asks this question. He says, Tzarech Iyun, that's how he lives it off. He doesn't know exactly what was Eliyahu Novi's heter. But I found the Zayis Ran on my favorite Sefer, I guess now, on the Yalkut Shemayni and Sefer Malachim. The Zayis Ran on Yalkut Shemayni and Sefer Malachim, Remez Reish Tes. He talks about this Medrash over here, and he says, what I consider a shtick a wild pshat, and then I'll tell you why I think it's worse than a wild pshat. But it says that there's a Gemara Yevamos that says that different amiroim, when they would go from one city to a different city, so they would send somebody ahead of them and say, okay, who wants to be this amir's wife, temporary wife, for his visit to that city? And the Gemara says that, you know, they wouldn't actually have relations with those women, but they had, if they needed to, then they would, so that they would have pas pasala, so that they won't end up doing some sort of aver. That's more or less what the Gemara says over there. So the Zayis Ranan says that that's also what Eliyahu Novi was doing over here. Really, he wasn't he wasn't stam, let's say, doing yichud with her or stam hanging out or whatever. She was the woman that, like, when he stays in the city, so she is like his kilo potential wife that he could marry her, but like it might say he didn't marry her, but like so that way he would have pas pasalo and he wouldn't have taivas to do other averes. That's what the Zayis Rana says about Eliyahu and Ogre. Yeah. This is a far fetched pshat, but it's more it's very difficult for me to accept this pshat because first of all there's an assumption all over the place that Eliyahu Navi has another name and his name is Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Eliyahu Navi is the same person as Pinchas. Yeah. Now we know that Pinchas was a Kohen Gadol, or at least was a Kohen Mashiach Moshiach Melchama, and the halacha is that he's not allowed to marry an almana. If this woman is an almana, so how can you say that like she's like there like as if like if he needs to, so he'll marry her. Like even to just do kedushin to her, according to many tzaddim, just to do kedushin was already an isra of a kohen gadol marrying an almana, maybe. But so how could you say that that's what Pinchas was doing? And how's the pas pasala if it's going to be aser? So it's impossible. And the Gemara says that there's an isra of tivu and lenasa, and the tivu and lenasa is not necessarily. It's a struggle, difficult pshat to say that's why Eliyahu Navi was able to do this, what he's doing over here. It's a little bit difficult. I spoke to a friend of mine, Yosef Dunn. What?
Sorry, I think you're right to say that, because if it wasn't so difficult to say that, the members
wouldn't be a chashad.
There wouldn't be a chashad.
Everyone would know.
She wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
She wouldn't say that.
So my friend, I spoke to a friend of mine, Rav Yosef Dunn Snow. He lives here in Beit Tarah, a friend of mine. I told him about this question. I actually told him my kash on the Zayis Rana. But he said he wanted to go with a different approach. The Gemara says that Tava Chacham is not allowed to live in the same courtyard as an almana. Yeah. So the Shaila is, why? So the Gemara said because of Chashay. Yeah. Yeah. He wanted to say that Meritesi to say such a chashad. Where do we get that idea from? So he wanted to say that maybe we got that idea from this story, that because Eliyahu was living with this lady in the same, let's say, the same house, courtyard, or whatever, so then people made, she claimed to him that people are going to make this chashad. But could be beforehand, we never knew there was such a chashad. So he wants to say that Gemara is only coming from this story. So Eliyahu didn't do anything wrong because the Gemara is talking about Eliyahu. It's like the Gemara is saying, like, don't make the same mistake that Eliyahu made. But you can't say that he's going against that Gemara because that Gemara came after the story of Eliyahu. It's something to think about. As I'm talking right now, I'm thinking. I have to put this one second.
This is the best shiur I've ever been to in my life.
One second.
What is that, Ebenezer?
Ebenezer, Chof Beis Yud Zayin. So if you look at the pesukim in Sefer Melachim. If you look at the Pesukim in Sefer Melachim, the question is like, is Eliyahu Navi married or not? That's a big question. You don't see either way Bechal in the Pesukim. It sounds like, you know, Eliyahu Navi is not married Bechal. But Lemaisa, the Mabit says in Beis Elikim that every Navi was married. Every person who had Nevuah was married before he had Nevuah. He wants to say that the only place where you see explicitly that he wasn't married is Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu had a dream. Before he went to Lavan's house, he had the dream with the ladder, and then the Mapit says that Hagufa, that wasn't really the highest darga of Nevuah, that was a dream, which is the lower darga of Nevuah. But he says that about every Navi was married when he had his Nevuah. So Uchar Eliyahu Navi was married. So maybe it could be that because he was married, so then he would be allowed to live in the same courtyard as this almana because it isn't such a chashad. So the mechaber in Ebn Ezra, when he brings down this halacha, the mechaber says like this: Also, the tamachacham lishkein b'chatzer sheyesh by almana, Afila ain't a misyachid imam. It's also for a Talmud Chacham to live, to dwell in the same courtyard as an almana, even if he's not secluding himself with her, mipnei chashad, because of the suspicion. Ela im kein ishtei imay, unless his wife is with him. So maybe we could say that Eliyahu Navi was, we just proved before that he was married. Maybe we'll say that he was, not only was he married, his wife was also with him, even though the psukim don't talk about his wife for whatever reason, but maybe that's the heter, because his wife was there with him. I don't know.
The same thing to say is, I don't know, we're the same Talmud Chacham all the time. Is it not the Talmud Chacham that the same? Is it, no, you know, I think there's a different, what's it called?
I don't know.
A different thing. I mean, Talmud Chacham is a Talmud Chacham. It's not a Kodesh person. It's just like someone that, you know, who listens all the time. It could be a little bit of a Navi, it's a different Dharma. Maybe it's not just a slight difference, but it's
why does the Gemara say Talmud Chacham?
That would be the smallest person that would be not allowed. Kol v'chomer, anyone greater than a Talmud Chacham.
Maybe. The Gemara says Talmud Chacham because the Talmud Chacham is, the Gemara says because he's tsnua. I don't remember exactly what that means in this context. But you would have to really go through this again and try to figure it out. But that's not what we're trying to do over here. Okay, there's one last discussion over here. It's a shtickle important discussion along the similar lines of Eliyahu Navi being Pinchas Lukain, right? So the shaila is, if the kid died, as Medrash over here says explicitly, that the Ben Atarfasis, the son of this woman from Tsarfas, died. So it says in the Pesukim that Eliyahu Navi stretched himself upon the kid and, you know, he breathed into it, whatever, and the kid came back to life. Right? So the shaila is, how could Eliyahu Navi do such a thing? If he's a Kohen is not allowed to touch a dead body. Right? So how can he touch a dead body if he's a Kohen?
He is allowed to touch a dead body.
He is?
He's allowed.
Seven exceptions, but maybe this is to bring someone back to life. Maybe it's another exception.
Where do we see such a thing? Okay, so there's five answers to this question. We'll say over the five answers, and I guess we'll stop after that. What?
He was dead, but he was traveling.
Okay. So
afterwards, he was already alive.
So there's a shtickle famous Gemara in Mesechta Bav Metzia Daf Kuf Yudalad Amid Alef Amid Beis, that the Gemara says that Rabba Bar Avua, Ashkecher Rabba Bar Avua LeElio, Dukoi BeBeis Kforah Shel Avdei Kachomim. Rabba Bar Avua, who apparently was good friends with Eliyahu Navi, and he would bump into Eliyahu Navi quite often. There's more than one story in Shas where Rabba Bar Avua bumped into Eliyahu Navi. It says that he bumped into Eliyahu Navi when Eliyahu Navi was inside a Goyisha cemetery. He was inside a Goyisha graveyard. Yeah? And he asked him some shailas about bankruptcy, halachas, whatever. And then afterwards, Rabba Bar Avua said to him, Omalei, lav kayin umar? So Rabba Bar Avua said to Eliyahu Navi, he said, I don't understand. Aren't you a Kohen? My time a Kohen, my Bebesa Kvaris. What are you doing in a cemetery? You're a Kohen. You're not allowed to be here. Omelei! So Eliyahu Navi said back to him, Loi Masli Mar Tyrus. Didn't you learn Seder Tyrus? There's a Braisa that says, Reb Shem Ayachai Oimer, that it says, Ve'ata Tzoyni Marisi Odom Atem. The Klal Yisrael is called Adam, Ve'en Oiv Dekachavim Kurim Adam, and Goyim are not called Adam, and by Parshas Tumas Meis it says Adam Ki Hamus Ba'ayel, Adam when he dies, and Goy is not called Adam, so therefore Goy doesn't have Tumas Meis, at least that's what the Gemara seems to be understanding, or Tumas Oil or whatever. But the point is that he's saying that I hold like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, that a Goy is a caver, is not going to make me Tumas, so that's why I'm here. But you didn't, you learn Tyrus, you should know this. So he answered back, no, we only learn four Siddharm of Shas, we don't learn six Siddharm of Shas, because only four are Negea nowadays, plus Kachim, we have Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, plus Kachim, because even though it's not Negea, but it's Nisham Parim Slasenos, so we learn Kachim. So he said, but Zroyim and Tyrus we don't learn, because it's not Negea. In Bavel, it wasn't Negea necessarily.
Oh, Bavel.
Right, so he says, I didn't learn that. Fine. That more or less the story here. There's a few other nekudas in the story, but I'm not going to get into that. Yeah, that's the story. Asks Tesis, Kufi Dalan Mebez Mamatzia. Temul Ri, wonderment to the Ri. Heich, Hichya, Binot Shalhalmana. How did this same guy, Eliyahu Navi, How did he revive the son of this almana from Tsarfas? Kevin Shukoyanaya, because he was a Kohen. The Chassid, it says the Pasuk, but he's made it all the yelled. And he stashed himself over the child. How can you do such a thing? He's a Kohen, it's Osir. So answers Tesis. Answer one. V'yesh le'maru, you can answer, Shohir boru lo'ishi chayehu, l'kach ayamuta mishu pikuach nefesh. It was clear to Eliyahu HaNavi that he would be able to revive the kid. Therefore, it was mutter for him to stretch himself upon the kid because it's like pikuach nefesh, which is, it's a chiddush, because pikuach nefesh means somebody who's alive, who's about to die. You're allowed to be over at Isser in order to save him. Here, it's the opposite. He's dead, but I could bring him back to life, and I know I could bring him back to life. So there, Tesis says that's also mutter because of pikuach nefesh, because you could save him. It's not exactly the same chiddush as pikuach nefesh, but it's the same idea, because he knew he was going to be able to revive him. That's the first teretz. That's Tesis's teretz. Now, others say other ideas. The Rambam in Mori Nevuchim in Chelek Aleph Simen Perek Mem Beis brings in the name of the Andalusim, the sages of Andalusia, which is Spain.
Right?
Andalusia, there you go. The Andalusia. So the Rambam brings in the name of those people, and also the Radak says this in his Pirush in Malachim, and also the Tesis Rabbeinu Peretz, Sachas B'Metzia, they all say this idea, that they want to say that, no, really, the kid didn't die. He just fainted, he looked like he was dead. Here, even though our Medrash says explicitly that the kid was dead, the Pasuk doesn't say the kid died. The Pasuk just says he was sick, and I think the Pasuk says Vayis Aleph, that the Lashon of the Pasuk is that he fainted. And therefore, you know, they want to say that that's why it was mutter for Eliyahu, because Eliyahu chapped that the kid wasn't really dead, so he was allowed to spread himself upon the kid to help revive the kid.
But then that doesn't answer the question. Right? Meaning the question doesn't start then.
Right, they're saying the question doesn't start. He wasn't really dead.
And you can't learn
to right.
Yes.
Right. They bring a raya because there's a Gemara in Masechas Nida, Ayin Amud Beis, that they asked Rabbi Shua, that what's the halacha of the Ben Shunamis? Is it Tame? If you have a guy who died and came back to life, is he Tame or not? Right? So the question is, why did the Gemara Tafka ask about Ben Shunamis and not Ben Tzarfis? Ben Shunamis is a story with Elisha, we're going to see later in the parak, right? Where it's explicit in the pasuk that the kid died. And why does the Gemara ask about the Ben Tzarfis, which happened earlier? Elamai, you, from here you could see that maybe you could say that the Ben Tzarfis didn't really die. That's what some of these people want to say. The Baisa, the Barbanel, his Pirush on the Meir Nevuchim, he says that no, the Rambam doesn't hold. The Rambam is bringing that b'shem l'chachmei and Lucio, but he doesn't hold of that answer himself. The Rambam doesn't hold like that. Rather, the Rambam himself holds the third answer. We're going to say the Rambam himself holds that the reason why it was mutter for Eliyahu Navi to go upon the kid was Hayrash Shah. Yeah, he was a Navi. Hashem could tell a Navi to temporarily suspend an Isra of Minotera. So that was the mechanism that allowed Eliyahu Navi to do that over here. Hayrash Shah. That's the Rambam's Teretz. That's what the Barbanel says is the Rambam's Teretz. The Radvaz in Chubas, Radvaz, Chelek Hei, Simon 2203 also says this Teretz. And also the Tesis Arash and Mesechas B'Metzia says this Teretz. Fine. So that's our third term. That was your fourth term?
The third one, I guess.
Third
one. With the second one, it says that everyone.
Third term.
Yeah. Was davening, it says, but in Yashab, you do the Russian, you should have amazing Asher, it's Nefesh Ayyad. Asher is Nefesh Ayyad?
No, again. Our Medrash definitely says explicitly that the kid was dead. We said that in Pirkei Eliezer.
In the beginning, we didn't say, just like that he was Chola.
No, Chola, Chola ben Ish of a mace.
No.
Yeah.
I don't have it.
Chola ben Ish. Right, the line before that.
Oh, sorry. Chola ben Ish of a mace.
He died, that says he died.
Oh, because it's just a Shenemar, yeah.
Because it brings a puzzle, but the puzzle doesn't say it explicitly. So the Medrash says that he died, but if you go like the Medrash, let's say you would have to say like Tosfos that he knew the kid was going to come back to life, so it's mutter. The second teretz you said is that he didn't really die, he only fainted. The third teretz now we're saying is the Rambam, Tosfos Arash, and the Radvaz are saying that it's Harash Shah. Really, technically, should be Aser, but Hashem gave him the ability to temporarily suspend the Iser. The fourth teretz is Rabbeinu Bechaye in Sefer Bamidbar, Perek Chaf Hei, Pasuk Yud Aleph. This is a little, you know, original Teretz. Rabbeinu Bechaye says that this woman, this lady that from Tsarfas, she wasn't Jewish. She was a guy. And her son wasn't Jewish either. He was a guy. And therefore, Eliyahu HaNavi was allowed to spread himself upon her to bring the kid back to life because he wasn't Jewish. So, like, just like the Gemara says, that he had, like, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that a guy is not Metame Mezim. So it's the same thing over there. The only problem is that our Medrash just said that she's the mother of Yoyin Ben Amitai, Yoyin HaNavi. So that doesn't work with our Medrash. It could be it's going with a different Shita. Just like, you know, the Chachma and Lucy are also not going with our Medrash. Okay, so that's so fair. The fifth teretz is the Chochmas Betzalel, Rav Betzalel Randsburg. Actually, the name of his Sefer Masada's Nida is really Pischei Nida, but for some reason when Masada of Cook reprinted the Sefer, they called it Chochmas Betzalel, but it's really called Pischei Nida. And also the Aruch Haner in Masada's Nida, Daf Ayinim and Beis, they say another teretz that works with our Medrash. Our Medrash said that she was Jewish, and she was the mother of Yoina. Yeah? So they say that Yoina was a tzaddik. Yoina was a big Navi, right? He was a tzaddik. And there's an idea brought in Tesis in the end of Ksubis that tzaddikim and misoson are not metame, because tzaddikim and misoson are kurim chayim. Tzaddikim, even when they're dead, they're like they're alive, so therefore they're not metame. It's a big shaila halacha lamaisa about going for a kohen to go to kivrei tzaddikim. I know that some sfarim are makel about it, some chassidim are makel about it. If you're going to the kivrei of a tzaddik, you're allowed to go because a tzaddik doesn't give off tumah. There's a lot written about this, but it's a whole sugya. But there is such an idea. It's brought in a thesis in Mesechus Ksubis that tzaddikim and misosim are not metame, so they want a taina that's how Leona was able to do this, because Yoina was a tzaddik, and therefore he was able to touch him even though he was dead, because a tzaddik is not metame. Fine. That's basically it. Any questions? No.